Syria, Russia, and the economic ties that bind, plus one man's fascinating trajectory after Lehman Brothers imploded 5 years ago. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. In a nationwide address, President Obama has asked Congress to postpone a vote on using force in Syria. For now, it's about diplomacy, as the international community explores ways Syria might turn over control of its chemical weapons arsenal.
I've ordered our military to maintain their current posture, to keep the pressure on Assad, and to be in a position to respond if diplomacy fails.
The possibility of turning over the chemical arms was brokered by Russia, Syria's biggest protector. Rachel Dornhelm looks into how much that former superpower has invested in Syria.
Syria was one of the Soviet Union's big allies during the Cold War. Russia still has a Navy installation there. But the Carnegie Endowment's Andrew Weiss says the base isn't much of an investment.
It's really basically a glorified gas station that can handle four or five ships max.
The Woodrow Wilson Center's Matthew Rajansky says Russia's stake in Syria is about geostrategy more than economics. That's a change from 2 years ago, Rajansky says, when Russia was still hoping to recoup billions of dollars Syria owes it from arms and infrastructure deals.
I think all bets are off on whether that's going to be paid now. And I think what's changed dramatically is the relative importance of those debts versus other interests and equities that Russia has at stake in Syria.
Rojansky says Russia could still stand to benefit financially if its efforts to avoid a U.S. strike sow goodwill ahead of the many rebuilding contracts that come at the end of civil war. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. After a sharp dip yesterday, the price of crude oil is up about 0.25% today using the Texas benchmark. The European benchmark is up 0.9% this morning. S&P futures are down slightly. NASDAQ futures are down more. Apple's shares are down another 2% in pre-market trading today after falling yesterday. Apple unveiled a cheaper $99 plastic iPhone and an upgraded flagship iPhone with fingerprint recognition and a faster processor. In London, the FT 100 is now down 0.1%.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
This week, we're looking back at the collapse of the investment bank Lehman Brothers, which went bust 5 years ago this coming weekend. That was the moment when the horror set in that the unraveling of the real estate boom had triggered the worst financial disaster since the stock market crash of 1929. We'll be examining the lessons from various angles in the next few days. Today, it's the former Lehman executive who left Wall Street for good.
You need caulking. You need some outlet that doesn't work. There's tiling that's broken. There's a mailbox you need to have installed.
Silicon caulking, ceramic tiling. 5 years ago, David Ambinder was Senior Vice President of Global Business Support Services at Lehman Brothers. 500 people reported to him. He worked in Lehman's fancy building in Midtown Manhattan amid stints of international travel. Now, 53-year-old Ambinder runs a successful Mr. Handyman franchise headquartered over Aliperti's Italian restaurant in suburban New Jersey. You need a toilet replaced or some new countertop, he's the man, although his team of seven does the hands-on. Ambinder's the boss. Are you any good at fixing stuff yourself?
No, I'm terrible. You never want me in your house. But, you know, I think my skill set is more aligned with being a good manager, being someone who's well-versed in marketing, well-versed in financial management, and building a business. And when I was at Lehman or Goldman or Solomon in my financial career, I was always in positions where I managed areas that I didn't know a lot about and sort of loved the challenge of learning new things. And, you know, that challenge certainly was here.
But you must have been smart enough to leave Lehman with some kind of seed capital, some kind of savings to start a business.
Well, you know, I worked on Wall Street for a long time, and I think of myself as a fairly conservative person in the way I live my actual life. So when Lehman went under, you know, it was certainly a financial blow because obviously the stock, which you get paid in a large percentage of your pay, was worth nothing. But, you know, I had a savings, and we decided that this was worth the risk. And regardless of what everyone told me, I did it anyway.
Did you get buy-in from your spouse on this?
You know, if you look at this move, I recognize that it's somewhat drastic, and it's somewhat very, very different what typically you see people doing. So my wife, who is just incredibly supportive, you know, I recall initially is like looking at me like I'm a little crazy, but I had both my kids in college.
Right as 2008 is happening.
Yeah, it all converged. So, you know, I had to kind of make decisions very quickly, I thought, in order to make sure that as this whole thing unraveled, I would have some way of creating income. And I didn't think it was in banking anymore because I thought the consolidation was too much. And I thought that the landscape was going to change related to how people were paid on Wall Street, where, you know, maybe it wasn't worth it anymore.
If another boom started building in financial services in New York, would you leave this career at Mr. Handyman and start going back into the city and work in banking again, do you think?
It's a question that I've actually thought about, but I could never see myself on that train to Manhattan anymore.
Why do you think, David? Why?
You know, I had great opportunities while I was on Wall Street. I did amazing things, but I can't do them again. I don't want to relive them. I want to try new things. And there are some people who are very uncomfortable with change. I have to be more comfortable and almost seek change in the things that I do.
We spoke in the town of Clark, New Jersey. David Ambinder was named Mr. Handyman Franchisee of the Year in 2011. We'll be pulling together all of our coverage timed to the collapse of Lehman 5 years ago, including reverberations felt in Ireland, Iceland, and Latvia. You can check marketplace.org as the week goes on. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.